Welcome to this Walnut Wednesday edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to our special Walnut Wednesday report, we'll bring you a look at national and regional agricultural news here on the show today. And I'll start things off with a look at regional agricultural news right after this.
Sponsored by the California Walnut Board and Commission, supporting the industry with on-farm innovation through production research, advocacy for government programs, and driving consumer demand. Doing more together.
California has distributed $12.2 million to 10 organizations chosen to carry out a new state initiative, the Pollinator Habitat Program, which will work with farmers to develop and maintain habitat. The PHP was established by the Budget Act of 2021, in which the State Department of Food and Agriculture was given $15 million to provide grant funding to establish pollinator habitat on agricultural lands throughout California. Legislatures directed CDFA to prioritize the planning of native habitats for the benefit of native biodiversity and use of locally appropriate native plant seed mixes when feasible. CDFA is pleased to make this investment in pollinator habitat on California farms and ranches, according to State Food and Agriculture Secretary Karen Ross. She says pollinators are not only vital to our ecosystems, they are essential to over a third of our crops, helping to produce a wide variety of California-grown fruits, nuts, and vegetables. The Pollinator Habitat Program demonstrates how working lands can help safeguard California's diverse systems, she said. CDFA accepted applications last fall. Resource conservation districts, nonprofit organizations, the University of California, California State Universities, California Community Colleges, and Native American tribes were eligible to apply for up to $2 million in funding to work directly with farmers and ranchers to install habitat and design management practices that support pollinators. The California Department of Food and Agriculture is joining the USDA in declaring April 2023 Invasive Plant Pest and Disease Awareness Month. This national outreach month is dedicated to highlighting the impact of invasive plant pests and diseases on plants nationwide. The focus is on raising public awareness about the threat and how residents can help. Each year, invasive insects and plant diseases cause an estimated $40 billion in damages to plants in the U.S. Non-native plant pests can hitchhike in untreated firewood, attach themselves to cars, boats, and other outdoor surfaces, or take a ride in the mail. They can travel to new areas on agricultural materials such as soil, seeds, homegrown produce, and plants. Invasive pests have few or no natural predators in their environments, so their populations quickly outpace native species and spread. These non-native plant pests and diseases disrupt ecosystems and reduce biological diversity. Climate change can magnify the impact of invasive species by increasing the level of plant pest infestations and disease infection, allowing pests to produce more generations each year and increasing their suitable habitat. To protect domestic plant health, CDFA suggests learning about possible quarantines in your area, as well as the signs of invasive pest infestation on plants. It's important to clean your car and outdoor gear before traveling with them to new places because invasive species can travel with you. If you find signs of new invasive plant pests and diseases in your area, report them to your local extension office, CDFA's pest hotline, or your USDA State Plant Health Director's office. Don't move untreated firewood, even if it looks pest-free on the outside, to avoid unintentionally spreading tree-killing beetles that hide in firewood. Buy or source wood locally, or use certified heat-treated firewood. Source your plants and seeds responsibly. When ordering online, ensure that the plant is coming from a domestic source or follow import regulations. If you don't know where an agricultural product is coming from, don't buy it online. U.S. regulators apply the importer of record, meaning the person purchasing and importing a product from overseas, not the online merchant. Learn how to safely and legally order plants and seeds online. Don't mail homegrown plants, fruits, and vegetables to avoid inadvertently mailing a plant pest with them. And to comply with U.S. law and avoid introducing new invasive species into the U.S., declare all agricultural items, including seeds, soil, and handicrafts, to U.S. Customs and Border Protection for inspection when returning from overseas travel. The pleasant climate and the diversity of crops and landscape plants that appeal to residents of San Luis Obispo County also appeal to invasive and destructive insect pests and plant diseases. In 2022, over 8,700 San Luis Obispo County residents volunteered to assist in a search for exotic destructive insects by participating in a County Department of Agricultural Weights and Measures Pest Detection Trapping Program. Over 2,500 traps were placed and moved in and out of yards throughout the county. As 2023 insect trapping season gets underway, they are looking for residents throughout the county that want to volunteer their fruit trees, gardens, or landscape plants as monitoring locations. That according to Martin Sevendemi, County Agricultural Commissioner and Sealer. Traps for exotic insects such as Mediterranean, Oriental, Mexican, and melon fruit flies, Asian citrus ciliate, spongy moth, Japanese beetle, glassy winged sharpshooter, and light brown apple moth were checked almost 35,000 times in 2022 by pest detection trappers from the Agricultural Commissioner's Office. The partnership with residents allows the department to implement a comprehensive and successful pest detection program. The most common type of insect trap used is a triangular-shaped open-ended cardboard box with a sticky surface that holds an insect attractant specific to a particular pest. Larger, bright yellow sticky sheets of cardboard are used for general pest detection. The traps are placed out of reach of children and pets. Early detection efforts, such as the ongoing trapping program, protect local agriculture and common homegrown fruits and vegetables by intercepting pests at very low populations, increasing the likelihood of successfully eradicating invasive pests. The county operates a trapping program in cooperation with the California Department of Food and Agriculture. Anyone interested in hosting insect traps is asked to contact the County Agricultural Commissioner's Office at 805-781-5910. Organic Produce Network has announced the addition of Rochelle Shulkin to its team in a newly created position of Vice President of Events. Shulkin brings extensive event planning and marketing expertise to her role and will oversee the growth of the Organic Growers Summit. She joins OPN with more than 14 years of experience in the fresh produce industry, where she achieved success in trade show management and execution, strong branding and marketing skills, as well as sustainability program development and reporting. She formerly served as marketing and sustainability manager for Calavo Growers. In her new role, Shulkin will focus on a strategic growth of OGS, an annual event that brings together organic growers and producers with supply chain and service providers. She will be responsible for overseeing all exhibitor and sponsor outreach, as well as developing the event's educational program, collaborating with leadership from organic producers to provide first-class information, education, and networking opportunity for all OGS attendees. The next Organic Produce Summit will take place July 12th and 13th at the Monterey Conference Center in Monterey, California.
Agroplante is the leading manufacturer in specialty products. Agroplante formulates products that rise to the challenge of today's growing conditions. Saline and sodic soils reduce crop yield and cause significant crop losses. Agroplante developed Cation EX5 Plus with growers in mind to manage soil salinity. With multiple years of research, Cation EX5 Plus has proven to be an excellent source of calcium and an effective soil salinity manager. Run it through drip irrigation without any issues. Simplify your application method with innovative and efficient formulations. Alleviate salinity stress with Cation EX5 Plus. Agroplante, imagination, innovation, science in action.
The California Department of Pesticide Regulations recently rolled out their pesticide roadmap, which will dictate future chemical usage for the state's agriculture industry. The release of the roadmap has been nothing short of controversial due to some of the guidelines laid out. California Walnut Commission's Director of Regulatory Affairs, Josh Ram, explained the implications.
The DPR believes that by implementing the roadmap's recommendations, California will be able to achieve the following goals by 2050. The first one, by 2050, California has eliminated the use of priority pesticides by transitioning to sustainable pest management practices. The second goal, by 2050, sustainable pest management has been adopted as the de facto pest management system in California. As I mentioned, these are goals that DPR believes that by implementing these recommendations, California will be able to achieve by 2050. As you know, and all others know, pesticides approved for use in California must go through a rigorous, scientifically based analysis that yields some of the most stringent human health and environmental safety measures in the world. There are licensed professionals utilizing their vast and diversified experience to recommend and apply products in the agricultural sector. And really, government at all levels takes discrete actions to ensure the highest levels of protection for environmental, human, and species health and safety. Given the robustness of these overlapping regulatory systems and progress to date, there are several concerns and comments which were not incorporated or adequately addressed in the final roadmap.
Controversy surrounding the roadmap stems from these concerns, and RAM highlighted a few, which include pest prevention, exclusion detection, and treatment systems.
The reference to the state's prevention, detection, and treatment system in the roadmap is one of the most efficacious ways in which to accelerate SPM. California has the capacity to fully lean into this policy space, utilizing the expertise and capacity of US EPA, APHIS, CDFA, the department, county ag commissioners, and really a vast network of licensed PCAs and farm practitioners to identify pest issues early and take quick action when necessary, ultimately to protect the state's landscapes and resources. Through multi-agency and cross-sector collaboration using these established networks, the state can really embody the concept of sustainable pest management.
A positive of the roadmap is its requirement for research to develop new pest management tools, which means more research jobs within the state.
There's agreement that accelerating a transition to SPM as the de facto system in California, as mentioned earlier, is predicated on alternative tools, systems, technologies, and support services. The adoption of these tools and mechanisms require a substantial commitment to accelerating research that responds to immediate needs while anticipating future needs. While the private sector will continue to invest in these functions to achieve ambitious goals anticipated in the roadmap, the state and federal government must play a more prominent role in supporting and facilitating the necessary research.
One other item the roadmap lays out is a need for improving the product registration system within the Department of Pesticide Regulations.
It's reassuring to see the departments embracing a more transparent and expeditious registration process in the roadmap, but would like to be clear that it must apply with equal rigor to all the products. Improving the registration system generally will deliver not only on a department's obligations, but can serve as a powerful tool for new technologies, products, and services to address the most pressing pest and disease challenges. All that being taken into account, the regulated community, which already supports the department's budget through licensing and registration fees and the mill assessment, cannot be fiscally responsible for funding these additional SPM components. It's encouraged that the department works expeditiously to meaningfully engage with all stakeholders to move forward with options that are truly consensus-driven. When transformative change comes, it requires all people, including the department, to tackle complex challenges, capitalize on opportunities where they arise, and collectively celebrate the successes. A safer, more sustainable future is possible with very thoughtful, collaborative action. And I know for one thing, certainly looking forward to the next steps in enhancing a sustainable future for California agriculture and all Californians.
You're listening to My Ag Life. I'm Taylor Chalstrom.
Sponsored by the California Walnut Board and Commission, supporting the industry with on-farm innovation through production research, advocacy for government programs, and driving consumer demand. Doing more together.
Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack discusses recently signed memorandums of understanding that will expand technical assistance provided by the Natural Resources Conservation Service.
We'll be signing a series of MOUs to expand the technical capacity that NRCS needs to provide to farmers out in the countryside, one with the American Society of Agronomy and one with Truterra, which is the Land O'Lakes effort. This is going to basically expand our capacity at NRCS to be able to provide more technical assistance and expertise for farm families.
USDA Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack. The spending and borrowing fight in Congress is coming to roost with USDA appropriations and the next farm bill. The GOP push for a smaller budget is making for a bigger budget fight this year as House Ag appropriators seek out ever scarcer budget dollars. Michigan Representative John Molinar suggests turning to unspent American Rescue Plan dollars.
Estimates show anywhere between $70 billion and $90 billion of unobligated spending. And my thought is, and I think it could be a very bipartisan thing, that should go towards debt reduction, not spending these dollars, wasting them in, under an emergency that no longer exists.
And that emergency officially ends on May 11th. At a recent appropriations hearing, Molinar asked USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack just how much of the agency-wide leftover funding is available. Vilsack could not give a specific figure.
We didn't get a tremendous amount from the American Rescue Plan compared to other departments, but the resources that we did get, we are using to create that more resilient food system. While the healthcare crisis per se is resolved, the resiliency of our food system still remains and requires investment.
And the Vilsack-Molinar exchange shows just how tough it will be this year to produce a USDA spending bill and a farm bill as a GOP-run House refuses to accept administration priorities on nutrition, climate, equity, and more. AGCO will offer the Bosch BASF Smart Farming Smart Spraying Technology on Fendt RawGator sprayers. These sprayers will initially be launched and available in Europe and North America. The first trials of the Bosch BASF Smart Farming's technology on AGCO equipment started in 2021. Its smart spraying solution aims to deliver optimal herbicide application, effective to control weeds with targeted spraying, while also providing product savings. The system is engineered to work in the daytime or at night. The Smart Farming solution is layered with digital tools, including Bosch BASF's pest identification technology. The companies highlight how the system offers an end-to-end user experience through AGCO onboard and offboard controls and Bosch BASF Smart Farming's integrated digital platform from Exarvio Digital Farming Solutions with insights into the data gathered during the application. Supported crops at launch include cotton and sunflowers. Agroforestry is a climate smart practices, but Keith Keeley, executive director of the Savannah Institute, says there are multiple opportunities for farmers implementing agroforestry practices beyond climatic benefits.
Is really about integrating multiple enterprises into the same farm, into the same landscape. So that can be high-value fruit and nut crops, that can be timber and non-timber forest products, integrating various crop and livestock systems, and even multiple operators on the same farm. So it's a great opportunity for new generations to come into farming and have a door, an entryway there.
Plus, Keeley noted benefits from potential agritourism opportunities and conservation payments as a revenue.
What agroforestry represents is a means, a way, a set of methods for integrating trees and perennial vegetation into cropping systems.
That's Keith Keeley, Executive Director of the Savannah Institute.
Soil and Crop Incorporated is your number one resource for sustainable nutrition. Growers are faced with difficult challenges, and Soil and Crop Inc. has the experience, fertilizer, and biological portfolio to dramatically increase yield and performance in your troubled orchards and fields. Contact Soil and Crop Incorporated today for a free consultation on how we can help reverse the challenges you face as a conventional or organic grower so you can increase your bottom line and become a better sustainable farmer. Contact us today at 559-564-1236 or visit our website at www.callnrg.com. Soil and Crop, putting nature to work for you.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing Team, thank you for listening.